We all hang on to things we should let go of. Clutter has a way of taking peace and increasing stress. Clutter in our home can cause frustration, but did you know that clutter in our hearts can destroy our lives? Join us for a new practical biblical teaching series as we learn to clean out our hearts of anger, jealousy, guilt, and other harmful emotions. It's time to tidy up our lives.
Hey everybody, welcome today. We're so glad you're here with us at Echo Church. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Welcome all of you who are joining us online and everybody at all four of our campuses. Let's put our hands together for people joining us spread out across Silicon Valley. Hey, we're in week number two of a message series called Tidying Up. But before I jump into the message, I want to make sure that you know about next week here at Echo Church. It's Mother's Day. It's going to be an amazing day. I want to encourage you, first of all, if you are a husband or a son or daughter, this is a good time to start thinking about what you're going to get your mom. And one of the best things that you can do with your mom is to bring her next week for an amazing celebration. Stacy, my wife, will be bringing the message. It's going to be a great day here at Echo Church. Now, we are in week number two of a message series called Tidying Up, and we've been looking at how do you get rid of the stuff inside of your heart or inside your mind that is destructive, the emotions that cause clutter to our mind, that cause clutter to our hearts. It was a great week last week. There were a lot of people that were amazingly blessed by the message and took it to heart. In fact, in Santa Clara, there were hundreds of people who cleared out extra clutter from their lives. Maybe they heard the message series. You could see actually in the city, there were people with stuff all over the streets. They took it out from their house. See, this message series is just already impacting hundreds and hundreds of people. And we're having a lot of fun talking about how do you get rid of that stuff deep within your soul, deep within your life that you don't want to hang on to anymore. Now, there are some things in our lives that we should get rid of. But there are some things in our lives that we need to hang on to. And one of those things that we need to hang on to is one of these bad boys right here. In fact, you probably know about these because you've had them go off in the middle of the night. Isn't it amazing how often your devices, they go off in the middle of the night and somehow the battery fails at 2 a.m. But this is a device that you desperately need. Number one, it will help you if there's ever a fire, but there's another part of this device that is very crucial, and it's that it detects something that lies in the environment or that is in the environment that you can't see. That's carbon monoxide. The problem with carbon monoxide is that it'll sneak up on you. In fact, it'll sneak up in such a way that you can't even smell it, and it will take you out in a moment. So we're grateful for these devices because they help detect things that are destructive in the environment before they take us out. Now, today we're going to look at one more emotion that is destructive. It's the emotion of greed. But what I need to say on the front end is greed is one of those things that nobody wants to self-identify with. In fact, if you and I were to sit down for a cup of coffee, probably one of the last characteristics that you would use to describe yourself is this characteristic called greed. See, what greed does is it lies underneath the surface. It's in the air. It's in our hearts. And it's very hard to detect in ourselves. But the problem with greed is that the longer you live with it, the less you deal with it, the more destructive it becomes. And there are a lot of challenges that we face with greed because in many ways, the more we have, the harder it is to even see the greed in our lives. And so what I want to do today is I want to help you begin to see, even within your heart, this emotion of greed, how destructive it is, number one, and I want to move towards a solution. See, many of the ideas that surround greed are very, very inadvertent to our hearts and minds. Several phrases that greed says, number one, I owe it to myself. This is the mentality that I've been under pressure, I have a lot of stress, and so I need things for myself. Greed also says, I deserve this. You see somebody else with something you want, and there's a tinge of jealousy that you feel, and greed deep in your heart says, you know what, I need it, I deserve it, it's mine, I wanna take it. In fact, it's very easy within these phrases to put language around them that makes greed seem like it's a very good characteristic, because probably for a lot of us, our greed has helped us in some ways. It helped you grow in the corporate ladder. It helped you make a little bit more money. Maybe even it made you a more ambitious person. But much like carbon monoxide, this greed, this hard attitude that grows under the surface has the power to destroy you. And it's oftentimes very hard to see in yourself. I remember one time when I was in college, I went overseas for a few months. I was there in Cambodia working in a university. And many of the people that we worked with there at the university, they were very, very poor. And one day, right before we were about to leave, they had this massive celebration. So they brought everybody together, and there were literally dozens and dozens of people who were there for us as we were saying goodbye. We'd been teaching at the university, and we were going to exchange gifts. And I very clearly remember being in my hotel room before I went to the celebration, thinking about what I would give away to some of my students. And I had a group of t-shirts on my bed, and I had laid them out and folded them. And I remember holding up the t-shirts, and there was this one t-shirt that I had just bought from Old Navy, and it was almost brand new. I'd only worn it like 3 times on that trip, and I didn't want to give it away. So I decided that I would take one of my older, crusty t-shirts, thinking this guy will love this t-shirt. It's nicer than any shirt that he has, and I'll save my shirt for myself because it's mine, because I deserve it, because I worked hard. And when I got there, I took my gift out to exchange gifts with this young guy that I'd been investing in as a student all summer. And when he pulled his gift out, literally, it was a gift that he would have had to empty out his bank account to give it to me. And in that moment, I saw within myself the emotion that prevented me from being able to give to this guy was the greed deep within my soul. I want to encourage you today to begin, as we look at these characteristics in this passage that we're going to journey through, to think about inside of your heart the possibility that greed might exist. Even if you already think of yourself as a generous person, it's still possible that it's growing silently and waiting to take out the most important parts of your life. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going to journey through today a story from the ministry of Jesus. Now, I want us to imagine the scene, because Jesus oftentimes would teach large crowds, much like here at Echo Church, where crowds are gathered together and they're listening in. And on one particular occasion, Jesus begins to teach, and something kind of awkward happens. We're going to look in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. As Jesus is teaching, it says, "Then someone called from the crowd, 'Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me.'" Now, this makes sense, right? I mean, if your dad or your mom had just passed away and you're having arguments about your father's or mother's estate, it'd be great if Jesus, who's this amazing religious leader, could help you figure it out, if he could come up with a solution. And I think for the person who asked for a solution from Jesus is not expecting Jesus to take this situation and show him what's on the inside. He's merely concerned about the fact that my brother is not being fair with this estate, and I need some help from somebody who's religious. But notice when Jesus looks back at him, it says, Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Jesus comes back at the man, and he asks a question after the man gives Jesus a situation. I don't think that this man at this point is really understanding the full breadth of Jesus' understanding of what's in his heart. And Jesus says, this is not why I'm here. I'm not here for litigation. I'm actually here to change or to transform the human heart. Now, Jesus is going to launch into this very powerful story that will help us see what's on the inside, especially as greed is growing in the human heart. He begins the story and he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed, for life is not measured in how much you own." Now, Jesus gives this phrase, every kind of greed. And I think a part of the reason why Jesus highlights this idea that greed comes in multiple facets is because oftentimes greed is not just money. When we think of greed, often we think of financial gain, but really greed can manifest itself in any area of our lives. We can be greedy with our time. We can be greedy with our relationships. We can be greedy for likes on social media. And really, the idea of our greed flows from the thing that we cherish most, that is most significant and most important. Jesus says, your life is really not measured. Your life is not measured by what you own. Your life is not measured by the things that you possess. Ultimately, your life is measured by relationship with God. And here's the reality. You and I chase what we cherish. The things that we think will satisfy us, we will pursue with our lives. And oftentimes, our greed lies within a misplaced priority system, that we think things are much more important and more significant than they really are. So we'll run after them. We'll give our time and our energy and our talent, the best investment of our lives to the things that we think will ultimately make us happy. And the question really that all of us are asking at the end of the day is, what will make me happy? Like, what is going to satisfy that deep need within my soul? And it's not that God doesn't want us to have joy or peace or even happiness, but he has a way that he wants us to pursue happiness. And so many of the things that we'll give our lives to, you can think back on so many purchases in your life that you went after. And when you went after them, you thought they would make you happy. It was a new shirt that you bought. It was a new pair of jeans. And this is a part of the reason why our closets get so full, is because we buy things that we think ultimately will satisfy us. And Jesus is saying that that's really not where life is found. Life is not found in more stuff. We all know from our journey with materialism that the harder we pursue that, the less satisfied we become. In fact, studies are showing us now the net effect on the human soul with materialism, that the longer you chase after materials or things of this world to satisfy you, the more dissatisfied you become. So Jesus is going to reorient this man's perspective on where he finds his satisfaction, where he finds his joy. So he launches again into this story, and he says, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced really fine crops. And so he said to himself, self, what should I do? I don't have enough room for all of my crops. Now stop for just a second and think about this. This guy, if you go back to these two verses, multiple times uses the me, my, I language, and he's got this windfall now. So he goes and he invests in the stock market and he gets a big return, or he plants some seed, and now after he plants some seed, all of these crops are coming up and he has a tremendous amount of abundance, probably more abundance than he's ever had in his entire life. And he's a lot like many of us, that you have more money right now than you've ever had. You have a better job than you've ever had. Maybe you have more in your savings account than you've ever had. And this is a very, very important component of greed for us to understand, that when we find ourselves in extreme conditions, this is where we know what's on the inside. In fact, extreme conditions, what they do is they have the tendency to reveal the deepest emotions. Now, maybe you grew up in a family that was poor or broke, or maybe you grew up in a family that was wealthy. But isn't it true that when you have abundance, a lot, when you have more than you expected, or when you're in a season that is very scarce, you see what's on the inside? And when this guy finds himself in an extreme condition of blessing, when he has more than he anticipated, he launches into a question of, what do I do with all this? Like, I have more than I thought I would ever have. And what do I do with all this extra money? What do I do with all this extra stuff that I didn't anticipate? But I think when it comes to analyzing the greed inside of our hearts, one of the most important questions we can ask is not what. Before we ask what, the question that we should actually be asking ourselves is why. Like, well, why do I have all of this? Why has God entrusted me with so much? See, if you go back to the verse, Luke chapter 12, verse 16, the man doesn't understand that at the end of the day, the reason he has so much, why does he have so much? It's because he has a farm that produced fine crops. Well, why did the farm produce fine crops? Because he had a God that provided for him, that controls the rain and controls the economy and the real estate market. That if I understand that God is the one who holds it all together, that everything that is good in my life comes from the hand of God, it changes my perspective on the things that are actually in my hands, because I know, why do I have it? I have it because God gave it to me. And why did God give it to me? He gave it to me for a purpose. He didn't give it to me just for a purpose to fulfill my own comfort or my own pleasure, but God gave me this extra for a very specific reason. But the man is not wrestling through it at that level. He's thinking about, what do I do with all this money? How can I make my life more satisfying? And finally, he says to himself, what should I do? I have so much and I don't have enough room for all of my crops. I have this abundance. He asked the wrong question, so now he's going to get the wrong answer. He has so much. Well, here's what I'll do. Continues again, he's continues to have this ongoing conversation with himself. Self, what should I do? He doesn't invite any good biblical wise counsel into the conversation. It's just him with his stuff wrestling through. And he said, oh, I know. I'll tear down my barns and I will build some storage units, and then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and all of my other goods. Isn't it fascinating how this still happens today in the 21st century, that we are continuing to build bigger barns? I mean, you can drive down the road near all of our campuses, and within a few miles, you can find storage units. In fact, storage is one of the fastest growing businesses in America. It's a great place to invest your money because there are so many people that have so much stuff that they don't know what to do with. It's a $154 billion industry because we get more stuff and then we feel like, man, if I give it away, then I won't have it. So I need to put it in a storage unit. So we pay money. And studies show that many people, they won't go more than once or twice a year to their stuff. So they're paying hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to store things that they don't even use anymore. That's what this man is doing. He's saying, I'll build myself some bigger barns. And here's what I'm doing in the process as I build more. I am actually trying to protect the asset, the thing that I produced. And he's coming at it from the wrong mindset. He thinks that he produced it with his hands. And here's the principle that I want us to see that is so important when it comes to greed and generosity. See, if you think that you produced it, you'll think that you have to protect it. I believe that for many people who struggle with generosity, that underneath the surface, this is the core belief that has you stuck in a place that prevents you from moving in to a life of generosity, where you are living with greed. The reason that you have greed is because you think you have to produce it. You think that it's your hard work that causes you to accelerate with your life. So the more that you embrace this mentality that I have to produce the money, I have to make it, I have to put it together so it works in my life, the more that you will live with this kind of scarcity that you have to protect everything that you've built. And Jesus is saying that this guy, he is way off. He's going to take all this stuff. He's going to store it over here, try to protect it because he produced it. And then he's going to sit back now, he says, and ask the question to myself, friend, you have enough. Notice how he calls himself a friend, like my friend. I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. See, now this guy shifts into a different perspective with his greed. And even implicitly, you can see so many concepts, and this is not a knock on financial planners, but the concepts oftentimes are the concepts that lie at the core of financial planning for us. Now, I think you can make a really good case that when you study the Bible and the wisdom of the Proverbs and all throughout Scripture, that there is a sense in which when you save, it's a good thing. But there's a mentality that takes it too far. There's a mentality that is, at the end of the day, it's not about saving up so that you can make a greater blessing on the world. It's about saving up so that your comfort can be preserved. And within this one verse, there are four really big concepts you can see. He's got this idea of savings in there. He has this idea of planning. He has his own future comfort. He has caution about what if, what happens if the market goes down. And he's building up his nest egg, but it's not just a nest egg. It's a nest egg on top of a nest egg. It's not just a savings account. It's a savings account on top of a savings account. He's got in his heart fear about the future. He has this anxiety about what's going to happen to him, but he also has this sense in which I want to be comfortable. I want my life to be easy. I want it to be enjoyable. And he's slipping further and further into a place of greed. See, I wonder if some of you can relate to this guy. Now, I know in our church that there are some of you that you're paycheck to paycheck, and the idea of abundance really doesn't seem like you don't find yourself with extra at the end of the month. You find yourself with more time at the end of the money. But for all of us, there is this longing within our hearts to be protected financially. If you are broke or you have more than you know what to do with, there is just so much energy and mental focus that is given to how do I protect, how do I provide for myself. And Jesus is giving this passage of scripture to reorient the value system to help us see clearly what greed is doing in our hearts as it's growing underneath the surface, like carbon monoxide that you can't see. He said, finally, after all of this, God's going to speak up. And God's been watching all this unfold, but now in this moment, God has something to say to this guy, and God will look back at him and he'll say to him, you fool, you will die this very night, and who will get everything that you worked for? You've been working really hard to provide for yourself, but there's a moment where all of this is going to come to an end. And what are you going to do at that point? And he's saying this is what greed is doing. It's not just a taking away joy from our finances when we try to store back. It's affecting our relationships. It's changing the kind of joy that we have about our work. And Jesus is saying that greed is destructive. Finally, he says, yes, this is ultimately a person who is all about earthly wealth, but not rich in their relationship to God. This is a foolish way of living. So here's the big idea. If you tolerate greed, it will ultimately destroy your life. And I wonder today, as you read through those characteristics, as we journeyed through that story, if there were one to two things that you can start to see in your life. Many of you came in here and you didn't think of yourself as a greedy person, but when you're looking at that list of what greed is doing in the human heart, you can begin to see the greed that is underneath the surface, whether it is small or it is a massive component of your life. It can start small and grow over time, and ultimately later in your life take away joy and peace and fulfillment. And I want for the few moments that we have remaining to look at, how do you deal with that? How do you honestly assess what's happening in your heart, and how do you move more towards a life that is free, that is liberated? So question wrote down here, how do you shrink the greedy dragon? There is a greedy dragon inside of all of us that wants to grow. And the Proverbs speak quite a bit about how do you deal with that greedy dragon. Proverbs 11:24 says this, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Now stop for a second and look at this word wealth, because this is not just a financial idea. This is a richness of your relationships. This is a satisfaction with your life. This is fulfillment with your career. This is peace when you put your head down on the pillow at night. That the longer you live with greed and stinginess, the more that it starts to rob you of the kind of life that God has created you to live. But Proverbs says that when you release, when there is the willingness to let go, there's a freedom and there is more richness that you experience in your life. He says the generous will prosper. And ultimately, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Maybe you've had a day in your life where at the end of your day, you're exhausted and you feel so incredibly depleted. And you feel like you have nothing left to give to other people. Sometimes there are seasons of our lives like this, where emotionally and financially we have nothing left to give. But what Jesus teaches and what the scriptures show us all throughout is that there's a kind of person that God is trying to form you to become. And the kind of person that God wants you to become is a person who is generous the way that God is generous. That when you go into an environment, you're the kind of person that's not there to take, you're there to give. When you sit down on a project at work, you're there to contribute, not to consume. See, so many of us, part of the reason why we're so emotionally broken is because we have this hat of consumption, this materialism that we're constantly seeing so much media in front of our eyes, so much advertising that is speaking to that part of you that if you have more, you'll be satisfied. If you don't have, you shouldn't be happy. But really, there is a kind of life biblically that flips that on its head, that flows from the heart of God, that one of the most defining characteristics of the nature of God is his generosity, that God loves to give, that at his core, he is constantly giving, investing, loving, pouring out so that humanity can be blessed. So people who experience the joy that God has, they step towards that kind of a lifestyle. The way that greed is overcome is not by getting more. The way that greed is overcome is through acts of generosity. And I put this word acts here on purpose because it's really not like you thinking, oh, I would love to be a more generous person. The way that greed controls us is it causes us to hold on to things. What generosity does, the way it grows in our lives, is that when I take the things that God has given to me and I make a generous decision with what's in my hand, it returns to me. It's a lot like seed. That when we think of seed, there's a measure of what God has placed into our hands. And what greed says is I need to control it. But when I control it, when I hold it tight, what happens over the course of time is that I actually lose the blessing of it. But that seed that is in your hands, when you give it away, it's planted and it bears harvest in our lives. That's what generosity does. It's through letting go of the seed. It's through spreading the things that God has given to us and the lives of others that we're able to experience fulfillment and joy and peace and be blessed ourselves. So I'll give you two big ideas on this of how this works. The first one is through percentage generosity. So that means that I know my tendency as a human is towards greed. And one of the things that I've discovered about myself is the longer I live, the harder it is to be generous. The more that I have, the more difficult of a decision this is. So what I want to do is I want to pre-decide in my heart the right thing. This is part of the reason why I do things like travel with somebody else and never meet alone with another woman, because I never want to put myself in a situation where my heart, whether it's tempted or out of alignment with God, chooses the wrong thing. So percentage generosity is saying at the beginning of the month, this is what the Bible teaches with tithing, that percentage generosity is that I take a portion of what God has given to me, and before I spend it on anything else, before I give it to anything else, I'm going to decide to my heart, I'm saying to my heart, I'm giving you away. I'm giving this portion of my income away so that greed can't control my heart. This is why our app here is so crucial. You can download our Echo app, and on the Echo app, there's a way that you can go in to the giving part of that and take your generosity and automate it. So for me, I get paid on the 1st and the 15th. On the 1st and the 15th, my tithe, my gift back to God with all that he's given to me, my first tenth is given back to him. This is the percentage generosity. And what I've seen in my life is the tendency is the longer I go, the easier it is to trust God with that same level. And what God wants to do is continue to increase my trust in him. So some of you, man, this is like the beginning of the journey. Just start with a percentage. Now, I would recommend that you start with the tithe, but start somewhere. And over the course of time, as you increase that generosity and you begin to automate a percentage, there's a sense in which you're saying, greed, you cannot have control of my life. But there's a second part of this, and I want us to see in 2 Corinthians how we get there. It says, we must decide in our heart how much to give and not give reluctantly in response to pressure. This is a part of the reason why, as a church, we don't put pressure on people with money. Like you'll notice, you've probably been coming for a while. We're very careful with our words because we want this to be not about what we want from you. This is about what we want for you. This is about what we want to see God do in your life as you trust him with your resources. So make a decision in advance. And then he says, you must decide in your heart, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all that you need. That when you trust him with it, he takes care of every facet and area of your life. Now there's one final part of this, and I want to finish on this, and this is spontaneous generosity. See, this is the decision in our hearts to recognize that everything I have belongs to God. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, Paul is writing to a church, one of the early followers of Jesus, and he's trying to get them to understand how generosity changes them and changes their life. And he says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest. Here's the harvest that God wants in you. Sometimes we think, well, I give money, it's a one-for-one deal. Really what God is trying to cultivate in you is the character of Jesus. And what he is trying to produce in you and in me is a harvest of generosity. See, what God wants to bless you with is seed that he can use from your life to bless other people. God knows if he can get it through you, he will ultimately then get it to you. He knows that if your hands are positioned open, that he can take the things he places in your hands and bless people around you. See, I love this characteristic about God, that God loves to bless people, and so much that he would send his only son to planet Earth to make a way. I love John 3:16 and 17 that says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But there's one verse after this that's powerful, and it says that God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God wants to bless you. God wants to provide for you. God wants to place his hand of favor over your life. And what happens with greed is that we are literally closing our hand to God to say, you can't bless me. So God is trying to pour out, but your hand is not able to receive because greed is holding the grip of money, holding the grip of stuff. Materialism that is deep within our soul is the very hard attitude that God is saying, I want to shift in you. So God is saying today, will you open your hands to me? Will you believe that I am able to provide? See, if you received it, you'll be willing to release it. If it came from God, then it's not yours to manage. It's not yours to control. It's yours to release so that God can use you to bless. So at all of our campuses, I want to invite you now at this time to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're comfortable right now with nobody looking around, would you just place your hands out in front of you as an act of surrender, just on your lap as a way of saying, today I want to surrender and yield my heart to you. God is stirring in your heart right now. The Holy Spirit is moving in you to bring you to a life that is free from greed. And there are so many of us right now that we're not experiencing the joy, the peace, and God is saying, if you would just let go of it. Sometimes we're in this argument with God, like this is mine. I earned it. I built it. I created it. But at the end of the day, everything you have in your life came from God. Every blessing, every relationship, all the money you have, and God is able, when you release it, to bless you. He's able to give you more, and he wants to. He wants to use your life to make a difference. And one of the most important characteristics is your heart of generosity. So some of you today, it's pulling out the app at the end of this message and automating your generosity. Others of you, there's something God wants you to get rid of and give to somebody else. Maybe it's a car, maybe it's a bag, maybe it's a desk at your house, maybe it's a piece of furniture. There's something God is stirring in you to say, that has you. But really what I want to have you is me. Really what I want for you is for you to say yes to me so that I can bless every area of your life. Father, thank you today that you are a good God who provides for every need. Thank you that you're generous, that you are the kind of God who's given abundantly through Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, and that you deeply want to bless a city, a community, a region. Help us as a church to be irrationally generous, to give of ourselves so that the community around us, so that people around us can be blessed. Help us move from greed to generosity, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.